Tantar Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Disobeying My Boss, An Opposites Attract Office Romance by Summer Brooks. Narrated by Megan Kelly and Connor Brown. Prologue. Fallon. Everything hurt. My head, my throat, my body, my fingernails, my fingernail beds. Everything. What happened last night? I remembered drinking rum, which I could handle because I always drank rum. It was my favorite. Then I did something stupid and started to mix other liquors, like tequila and vodka. Oh, God. Yep, I tasted it in the back of my throat. Ah, that was why my throat hurt. I definitely puked. Gross. I never mixed alcohol, but when we were celebrating Kieran Jason's new home, things got a bit crazy since I was one of the few drinking. After dancing on the table, everything started to get a little fuzzy. Even thinking about dancing around in circles made me feel sick. What the hell had I been thinking? I reached for the nightstand by my bed, and my hand knocked off the TV remote, my glasses, the alarm clock, and the lamp as I felt around for my phone. I didn't care. All that stuff could lie on the floor until it was old and gray. And even then, I wouldn't care, not if I felt like this. I kept one eye shut against the pillow and opened my other to check the time. What I hated most about hangovers was the time my brain thought I should get up. I groaned when I saw that it was 6 in the morning, and while I felt like complete shit, I knew sleep wouldn't happen again until later. I had a message notification, but the energy it would take to just swipe it to open it. Fine, I grumbled, sweeping my finger across the screen, still with only one eye open. It was from Kira, asking if I made it home okay, and then telling me congratulations. For what? I had no idea. I glanced at my body and saw my knees were scraped up, and there were a few droplets of blood on the sheets. I obviously made it home okay, but I'd had some mishaps along the way. Too bad I didn't remember. I didn't even remember leaving her house or opening my door. Honestly, the fact that I got undressed and made it to bed was impressive. Come on, Fallon, think. What the hell happened last night? I shut my eyes and thought back as far as I could. Everything was hazy. I literally only remembered the table and a weird dream that said I got a job with Simon Cox. The Simon Cox. Hot as hell, CEO of basically everything, it seemed. The man owned money, he was so damn rich. Being wealthy wasn't a priority or a dream of mine, but that man wore money well. He looked a lot like his brother Jason, but older, with a little salt around the temples and blue eyes that froze my damn soul. He was untouchable physically, but mentally, I could strip that expensive suit off him and pretend that I was at his level of exquisiteness. He was perfection from the ends of his hair to the tips of his fancy shoes, and I wanted nothing more than to run my hands through the combed strands and really razzle him to knock him off his game. That would never happen, so I needed to stop daydreaming and get on with my day. Sitting up, my hand flew to my head that felt like it was drowning, and my stomach clenched from the slight move. My mouth was as dry as cotton, and the vodka was coming out of my pores, literally. I smelled it. Did I want coffee, or did I want to shower first? I got another whiff of myself and smelled the horrible decisions from last night and decided a shower had to be first. I really needed to stop drinking so much when I went out. I was the kind of girl that didn't have a happy medium. I was either okay, or I was trashed, nothing in between. Plus, it wasn't a good look to get sloppy drunk. What if I ran into my future husband or boss? And they saw me wasted and wanted nothing to do with me. That actually made me wonder if I had seen my future husband. I couldn't think like that. I was young, kind of had my life together, and I was a decent person. I had plenty of time to find love. Simon's face decided to ram into my mind as I rolled out of bed and tripped on the pile of clothes on the floor. Crap. I did not need to crush on him right now, because I'd just get crushed with rejection. I might put on a good front with guys, but that was only because I made sure to end things first or say no first before they could. Taking a deep breath, I pushed the image of Simon's handsome face out of my mind and stepped over the empty Amazon boxes and finally made it to the bathroom. Some would say I was a little messy. Just a little. But cleaning was an annoying task, and I knew where everything was right now. Like I knew my pretty blue lace bra was underneath the red towel in the living room, and that one of my silver studded earrings was behind the framed picture of me and my dad that lay face down on a pile of clean clothes that hadn't been folded. Okay, so I was messy. I wasn't trying to impress anybody. I didn't have to. I was single, and living life how I wanted was rule number one in the single lifestyle handbook. Until I had a reason to change, I wasn't going to. I turned on the shower all the way to steaming hot, hoping that the boiling temperature sanitized my pores. The scorching water hit my back, and my head cleared, the dizziness eased, and the nausea that had hit me earlier vanished. My muscles loosened, and I was so relieved to feel better that I leaned against the stall. My hand was on the tile, and I took a second to breathe. And then my tiredness hit me at the same time. I hurried up and washed myself off, and then stepped out, wrapped the towel around me, and didn't bother completely drying off before I fell face first on the bed. Dry sheets were overrated. I reached down for the remote and grabbed the alarm clock instead. Grumbling something incoherent under my breath, I tossed it over my shoulder and went back to scouting for the damn remote. After what seemed like ages, I finally had it and pressed the power button to turn it on. I had no idea what I was watching, and I didn't care. I honestly just wanted noise in the background as I fell back asleep. I conjured up an image of Simon and what he would look like with a loose tie, all stressed out and manic because of me, and a slight grin formed on my lips as the sleepiness from the hangover took hold. I sank deeper and deeper into a beautiful heavy sleep. Then, once my body was heavy and limp, I woke up with a startled gasp. Shit! Damn! I was hired last night. I danced on the table, and Simon Cox watched me. He caught me when I fell down, and I stared into those beautiful blue eyes. Even through the drunken haze, I had a clarifying moment. There was more to Simon Cox than meets the eye, and I wanted to know what hid underneath the tailored suit and elegant disposition, so I kissed his cheek when he offered me employment as his personal assistant while he held me in his strong arms. Then he proceeded to offer me another shot, and I took it gladly, wrapped my lips around the entire rim, and drank it down. Without using my hands. No, no, no. I hid my face in my hands from all the embarrassing memories swamping me. I was mortified. I couldn't work for him, knowing that he'd seen me at my worst. When was I supposed to start this job? What was the office address? Remembering details in my condition wasn't exactly easy. Crapola, I'm screwed. Toast. Burned bacon, that's what I am. Way to freaking go, Fallon. Another one for the books. Bravo. I clapped for myself as I looked for my phone. Who needed an audience to my life spiral? I was all I needed. I kicked off the comforter, sheets, and pillowcases, and there was no phone. I flopped back on the bed, peered under the mattress, hoping it wasn't in the doomsday space, the dark place between the floor and the bed. I was afraid to know what was under there. And of course, my phone was. Closing my eyes, I cringed as I reached for it and hurriedly pulled it out, then Googled Simon Cox's name. His company came up immediately, along with a picture of him in a gray suit and red tie, that brown hair parted on the side as he strolled down the street with his long legs. Damn, he was so damn gorgeous. Ugh. I got sidetracked and started flipping through photos when I saw a picture that reminded me of a look he gave me last night, only it wasn't sexual. It was him telling me to be at the office today. Of course he would say today, knowing damn good and well I'd be more hungover than an empty bottle of freaking Jack on a coffee table. When I see him, I'm going to wrap my hands around that perfect, sexy, muscular throat. I held my hands up in the air, imagining his neck in front of me as I vented to myself and squeezed the air. Taking a deep, calming breath, I exhaled, dialed the number, and placed it against my ear as it rang. I hoped he'd answer. He was going to get an earful. Cox Media, this is Olivia. How can I help you today? The woman answered happily. She must not be hungover. Good for her. Hi, Olivia. My name is Fallon, and I was wondering if Mr. Cox was expecting me today? A moment of silence passed, and the woman made a strange sound in the back of her throat. You are supposed to be here in 20 minutes. I tilted my head down to see the towel still wrapped around my body and knew right then that that wasn't going to happen. I'm so sorry. I am going to be late. My cat fell from the balcony and broke his leg. I had to take him to the vet. Damn it. Now I had to get a freaking 3-legged cat. Maybe the shelter would have one. Oh, no! That's terrible! I hope he is okay. I'll let Mr. Cox know. Thank you, and I'm so sorry about this. I sighed with relief. And what's the position for? I didn't want to ask, but I needed to know if I was about to step into something I wouldn't ever be able to shake off my foot. He didn't tell you? You will be his assistant, so you'll be taking my job. I'm actually surprised he hired you, no offense, but you seem kind of like a disaster. Olivia chuckled and snorted. I should be offended, but I didn't blame her. If Olivia only really knew that I was an F5 tornado on a regular basis. Great, so I'm leaving now, and I'll be there within the hour. I winced, because I was not actually leaving now, but I was only a hop, skip, and a jump away from being out the door. See you soon, Olivia said before hanging up the phone. Crapola, I said, and rushed to get ready. I found a black skirt on the floor, a bit wrinkled, but it would work. I slid that on, letting the cheap material scratch me on the way up my thighs. Next, a red blouse, tucked it in, and tossed my hair up. I was ready. I brushed my teeth, grabbed my purse, and flew out the door. I only lived 2 minutes away from the subway station, so by the time I got on the train, I thought about all the things I didn't do before leaving. Deodorant, perfume, matching shoes. I glanced down to see one black ballerina-style flat and one brown ballerina flat. I was a wreck. There was no way I would keep this job. When I did get there, I smelled sweaty and hot from being crowded by people on the train and wished I'd had the time to buy an iced mocha latte. This sucked. And I was still hungover and wanted to throw up. This was too much. I should have quit or not have shown up to this damn job. It wasn't like he couldn't replace me with a snap of his fingers. I opened the door to his building 45 minutes later, and the AC burst all over my body. I groaned in delight, and the security guard lifted an eyebrow at me from the sexual noise of pleasure. What? I snapped, pinching the neck of my blouse to air out my chest. It's hot as balls outside. He was a big man, black, almost 2 feet taller than me, and he lifted his fists to hide his chuckle. Well, I'd rather have him laugh at me than throw me out with one hand tied behind his back. Because he could.
Yes, ma'am.
His voice was so deep it made me jump as it echoed through the large marble entryway. A woman with curly brown hair walked toward me from the sleek, modern black desk in the middle of the room. Everything about her screamed elegant. She was the kind of woman I imagined Simon to be with. Her skirt was light tan, and her blouse was white. It was tucked into the waistband with a skinny brown belt. She was pretty, no makeup, with just a little bit of mascara. I instantly looked at myself and saw how much of a downgrade was happening here.
Hi, I'm Olivia. I'll take you to the 10th floor. Follow me, please.
She stared at my shoes and made a funny face before looking at me again. You don't want to know the kind of morning I had, I mumbled. Hopefully that explained my entire wardrobe right now.
Right, your cat,
she asked. Right, my cat. The cat I didn't have. Yes.
Let's go. Mr. Cox doesn't like to wait.
Of course he didn't like to wait.
Lead the way,
I said, and followed Olivia to the elevator. Her heels clicked the black and white tiled floor, causing my ears to ring and my head to pound more than it already did. The building seemed pretty empty for the most part, but since it was a newer company, I supposed getting off the ground would take some time. The elevator door closed and opened before I had a chance to blink, and we were in front of another main desk that had a view of the entire city.
Just to let you know, he isn't happy that you're late, so he is in a bad mood, Olivia said. He is a strict man and has a lot of rules that he enforces. Why do you think I got fired?
He fired you? I asked, truly shocked. Why? If Olivia was fired, there was no way I'd make it a day in this place. Before Olivia could answer, Simon opened the double doors of the conference room and gave me a hard glare. Yep, he was pissed. And, yep, he was still hot. Now is not a good time for this story, Olivia whispered in my ear as she grabbed her belongings off the desk.
Good luck dealing with the hell that is Simon Cox.
Chapter 1 Fallon, the day before.
Here, let me help you with that.
A deep voice boomed behind me as I leaned over in the trunk of my car to pick up a box full of alcohol bottles. The baritone sent shivers down my spine, and when I lifted the upper half of my body, I hit my head on the trunk lid. Ow! I squeezed my eyes and touched the throbbing spot.
Are you okay?
The voice that made me hurt myself to begin with spoke up, and a hand landed on my forearm. A big hand. And I knew what they said about big hands. I'm fine. Sorry. You startled me. I wasn't expecting anyone. I pried my eyes open, saw the face the smooth, silky voice belonged to, and nearly choked on my tongue. The man was handsome, painfully so. He was older than me, and not just by a few years, but maybe a decade or more. He had a little white around the temples, a little salt, and I wanted to be the pepper that really shook him up. Not stirred, because he seemed like a man that would like everything stirred, and I was the kind of woman that loved to shake things up. He had bright blue eyes, reminding me of Jason, and a few wrinkles around them that showed his age. He was distinguished, and I loved it.
I heard a car pull in, and they said they were expecting one more person. I wanted to offer any help you may need.
He spoke the words like a finely tuned violin, and all I saw was his beautiful mouth moving. I wasn't listening to him. His lips were wide set and plump. He was clean-shaven, showing his flawless skin. A soft olive complexion tinted his flesh, and I bet he tanned easily. His chiseled jaw came to a sharp point that was his chin. It had a little dimple in the middle of it, and I found myself wanting to lick it, kiss it, suck it, drool on it. Okay, maybe not drool on it, but I wanted to do a lot of things to him.
"I'm Simon Cox," he said, holding out a hand with perfectly manicured nails.
"Fallon Roberts," I greeted, and slid my palm into his, gasping when an electric shock worked its way up my arm. It was then that I realized he said his last name was Cox. No wonder he looked familiar. He was Jason's brother. His hot older brother. Jason could have told me. He cocked his head at me, studying me, piercing me with his arctic eyes that made me feel cold. I wasn't sure what I felt between us, but there was something in the works, and it made my stomach flip and turn. I was no saint when it came to men. I wasn't like my friends who'd stayed virgins well into their mid-20s. I mean, who did that? I didn't. I discovered sex at 16 with my high school boyfriend, and it was a terrible first experience. But I've had better now that I'm older, which I wouldn't have been able to experience if I'd stayed a virgin. Count my blessings. I didn't consider having sex so young a bad thing, especially right now, because I knew if I ever had sex with Simon, while he looked put together like a magazine model, I'd need the experience with how unhinged he'd become. It's just a feeling I had. His eyes told me all about the man that was hiding beneath the suit. And it wasn't the kind of man that liked things stirred, I could say that much. "It's nice to meet you," I said, withdrawing my hand from his. I needed to not touch him. My body responded to him in a way that made me not trust myself. I wanted to jump him, and I would. That was the problem. I couldn't jump my friend's husband's brother. What a mouthful. I bet he was a mouthful.
"Fallon, stop it."
A small tilt of his lip showed a knowing smile, and then he brought his hand up to smooth it away. He knew what he was doing to me. He felt it.
"Let me carry that for you. It looks heavy."
"Right, the box of alcohol bottles." "Sure, yeah, that would be great. Thank you," I said, a little breathless. Was it suddenly hot out here? No, the day itself was terrible. Gray skies for miles with a promise of rain. The breeze was cool, which refreshed me since I was suddenly heated. He moved around me, fluid and graceful. He held one hand against his stomach as he peered into the trunk of my car. He gave me a credulous expression, bent brows and pursed lips.
"That's a lot of liquor for such a small gathering."
I bounced nervously on the soles of my feet and bit my lip. "You haven't met me. I drink like a fish when I have a reason to celebrate."
"That's not healthy. You should take better care of yourself."
He lifted the box effortlessly and straightened to his full, lip-licking height. Oh, great. I knew something was wrong with him. No one could look that good and be perfect. He judged me. I snatched the box away from him, bit back a grunt from how unexpected the weight was, and lifted a knee so I could readjust the hold I had on the box as it lay on my thigh. "You don't get to judge me when you don't know me. I can do what I want. You aren't the boss of me." I spun on my heel and walked away, keeping my chin held high and putting a little extra sass in the sway of my hips so he'd want to get to know me. He was next to me in seconds, taking the box from me and holding it with one hand as his other laid on my lower back.
"If I were your boss, you'd have no choice but to listen to me."
My skin grew hot from his touch. "You're out of your mind if you think I'd ever listen to you, Mr. Cox." I actually had a problem with not listening. I tended to march to the beat of my own drum and did what I wanted. Which was funny, considering I was a great personal assistant and my job was to literally do whatever my boss said. I needed a job, actually. My last one didn't work out. My boss was a micromanager, and I was just not the right employee for him.
"I have a feeling you would listen,"
he whispered in my ear before opening the front door.
Fallon, you made it. Emily greeted me with a smile. And you met Simon. He's nothing like Jason, right?
That's an understatement.
Hey, we have plenty in common,
Jason said, pulling me in for a sideways hug.
How are you doing, Fallon?
I'm good. This is such a beautiful home, Jason. You and Kira picked out a good one. I wondered if I would be able to ever afford a home like this. High ceilings, hardwood floors, crown molding, a kitchen that was made for a restaurant, and a swimming pool that had its own slide. It had its own freaking slide! I stared up at the ceiling, which rounded like a dome, and then I remembered that the house had this castle-like tower, and we were standing in it. I guess it paid off to be a NASCAR driver.
My ceiling retracts,
Simon said from beside me, either teasing his brother or intentionally jabbing him. Jason rolled his eyes and opened the fridge door to grab a beer.
You are so pretentious. It's a ceiling. It isn't supposed to retract. I'm not pretentious. I just know what I like,
he said.
And I like the finer things in life.
Simon's eyes darted from me to Jason, and for a split second, I felt like he meant the words to be aimed at me. That was impossible, considering he wore designer clothes, and I wore thrift market finds, because I liked to save what little money I could. So technically, I was not a finer thing in life.
Do you sunbathe naked or something? Is walking out the door in a bathing suit too much?
I teased, reaching for the bottle of tequila and a shot glass. I made sure to bring salt and lime. Tequila shots were my favorite, and they gave me a quick buzz. I needed it right now. Being around Simon wasn't easy on my libido.
Why be naked and outside, uncomfortable, when I can lie naked on my couch with the sky above me? And it's wonderful at night.
He moved behind me. The powerful energy radiating from his body sank into mine, making me gasp for air. His tie tickled my arm because he was so close. He reached to the counter and grabbed a shot glass, brought the rim to his mouth, and licked it. I watched his tongue wet the glass, that wet pink appendage teasing me with its abilities. I wanted it, on my body, all over me, head to freaking toe. Simon proceeded to dip the glass in salt to decorate the rim, and then twisted the top of the tequila off, the tendons in his hand flexing. He poured it like a man who has poured drinks his entire life. He made tequila pouring look sexy and rich. The way it splashed into the small glass, it was like a commercial that Jose Cuervo needed to make right now.
At night,
he started to say again after pouring our drinks and handing one to me.
I'll retract the ceiling, and millions of stars are out, shining and twinkling. I can look up in the comfort of my own home, naked if I want, without a care in the world. Love looking at a sky full of tiny explosions.
I was about to have a tiny explosion. My insides were igniting, my nerves sparking, and the only thing left was to completely let go and shout his name, tackle him to the ground, and have my way with him. I had the slightest feeling that that would be frowned upon. Or, I said, as I licked the salt off the rim of the glass and tossed the tequila back. Or you can lie on your balcony naked as I do, and all is right with the world. I bit into the lime and made a sour face with my lips. And it would save you a ton of money.
You lie naked on the balcony for everyone to see?
I turned around to laugh and jibe, but the storm he had raging in his eyes silenced me. I poured another shot so I wouldn't have to look into his blue eyes. I didn't bother giving him my attention again until I had four shots in my system and another one in my hand. I gave him a tipsy smile and clanked my glass against his. He still had the first shot in his hand.
Geez, want me to put a nipple on that for you?
I licked the salt, swallowed, and sucked the lime, and once again made an unflattering sour face. He bent his head down, and in my quick, drunken stupor, I noticed how perfectly groomed his brows were and how freaking good he smelled. I couldn't exactly pinpoint what it was he smelled like, but I knew I'd never be able to afford it. It was light and hearty, crisp and clean with a slight smokiness. God, I could sniff his neck all day if he allowed me.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?